Good morning, church. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship, I welcome you. You have to warn Gabrielle to maybe tune down that quiet music time. She almost got me dancing up here. I'm not sure that's a good thing for anybody. Well, whether you're here in our sanctuary, whether you are online with us or watching us and worshiping with us later in the week on MCTV, we're grateful for this opportunity to worship together, to gather together, and to encounter our living God together. As we begin this time, we're going to have a few announcements to help connect one another and to share about the life of our church. And first up, I'm going to invite Bill Pritchett, who serves as our church treasurer, to share an update from our accounting team. Bill?
Thanks, Jeremy. As Jeremy said, it's been a while since I provided an update, so today I wanted to give you a summary of our current financial situation. I'm pleased to report that our financial position continues to be strong. Through the month of July, giving to our general fund was within 1% of the amount projected in our 2024 budget. And when you factor in special donations, we are actually $30,100 ahead of our target. Almost $12,000 of that extra giving was designated for the new sound system, which will be installed here in the sanctuary later this fall. Expenses through July were tracking almost exactly within our budget. Total expenses for the year have been $836,000, and we were actually within $750 of that budget, a variance of just 0.1%. So all of this shows that our staff and volunteers in all work areas continue to show excellent stewardship in tracking and controlling their spending. So in summary, we'd expected to run a deficit this year, and we had planned to spend money from our reserves to fund our ministries in 2024. However, thanks to your generosity and the careful use of our resources, our income and expenses are balanced. So as always, thank you for your generous support of our church. Your gifts make it possible for us to fulfill our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ.
Bill, appreciate you bringing that update and appreciate the generosity of the congregation in continuing to support our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. I had a chance to meet with the accounting and endowment teams last week or several weeks ago, and also appreciate how blessed we are with such capable leadership in that area of our church. And so appreciate that encouraging word. Next, I do want to invite Hillary Ferguson, who serves as our children's and youth director, to share about a fun and exciting kickoff Sunday. Hillary.
Are you ready for the football? Thank you. That took every ounce of courage I have. Are you ready for some football, or at least kickoff at Midland First? It is all about fellowship and fun. Please join us for a pig roast, live music, orientation to a new church season, face painting, pie game. Yes, whipped cream is involved. Sidewalk chalk, pom-poms, mini footballs, finding Jesus, photo booth, cornhole, washers, four square in the air, whew, and maybe more. Invite friends curious about our church or just for fun and fellowship. See you on September 8th.
Now, Hillary, I can't help but notice we've had a few conversations about this coming football season and wearing some burnt orange. Some might think we wear. So but I'm amazing blue, but Hillary's burnt orange, Texas. So look forward to a fun Sunday coming up here at the church September 8th. Fantastic way to kick off the fall. Finally, I want to share some time of celebration. So is our Warren and Sandy Yingle with us in the sanctuary? They are not. Well, they are celebrating their 55th wedding anniversary. I think it was this past week. So we congratulate them. Also is Stu and Mary Choate. Yes, they are. Here, I invite you to stand. The Choates are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary this past week. So, an awful lot of God's goodness and grace has been poured into the lives of your family, your church, our community through all that you have shared. So we congratulate you. If you have a milestone wedding anniversary beyond the 50 years or at 50 years, please contact the church office. We would love to share your celebration with one another as a life of the church. But indeed, life brings many opportunities to celebrate and occasions, and so that's why we gather together to be the church. So next few moments, I invite you to stand to greet one another. If you have a reason that you're celebrating, share that with a neighbor. If not, just share your name and share a friendly greeting.
Please remain standing and join me in the call to worship. Be strong in the Lord, people of God. We need not fear anything, because he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Help us to stay alert and be persistent in our prayers for all believers everywhere. Remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, please.
Thank you.
And now we have the opportunity to affirm our faith by saying the Nicene Creed together, which will be on the screen, or it's on page 880 in your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We good to go? I will. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
Children, come forward.
Jesus, come on up, kids. In Sunday school today, we are going to tackle the book of Revelation. Would each adult who really gets that book of the Bible please stand up? Is anyone standing up? No. Well, he's walking. He's returning. So the fact that there are no adults standing up may give you a clue that it's a pretty tricky book. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and it seems like it is for us to take on in faith and hope. Christ is the victor, and his worthiness is to be praised. And that is what we will all be doing the next two Sundays when we pray the victory chant.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, how wonderful you are. Amen.
Thank you. Perfect. We can go to Sunday school. Thank you.
Please join me in this prayer of thanksgiving. Dear God, thank you for family and friends. Thank you for pets. Thank you for trees that give us oxygen. Thank you for shelter. Thank you for food. Thank you for water. Thank you for the sun and other stars. Thank you for summer. Thank you for sports. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the universe. Thank you for many people. Thank you for vacation. Thank you for books. Thank you for forgiveness and love. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for youth who lead us in prayer. Thank you, Blake. As we continue to offer our worship this morning, we take time to share in the giving of our tithes and offerings to God. As we share in this time, I invite the congregation to fill in, let us know of your presence here by filling in the friendship pads that you will find in your pews today. If you're online, we invite you to let us know of your presence also by waving hello to us in the comment section or placing a comment on the comment section field of whatever platform you're on. If you're a guest with us this morning, this is one of your first few times with us in worship, invite you to sit back and be mindful of the blessings that God is pouring into your lives. For our congregation and friends, this is a time for us to continue to give towards the ongoing mission and ministries of this church. Let us continue to delight in our giving back to God as we worship. With the Indeed, O God, it is well with our soul. For as we gather as your people and as we gather as your church, we are reminded of how well suited we are for this life. Through your grace, through your presence, and through your power in each of us. And so we continue to offer our worship and these gifts and ask that you would bless them, O Lord, that we might continue to live into the mission and the ministries of our church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles if you wish, or your Bible app if you have it on a phone or tablet, for our scripture reading today. This comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. If you wish to read along in the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 184 in the New Testament. Today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. From Paul, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I find life fascinating. In particular, I find it fascinating how our perspective changes over time. As recently as 10 years ago, I very much viewed life as an adventure. And on this adventure, I played the role of someone very much like Indiana Jones. Fedora, bullwhip, Harrison Ford's dashing good looks. It's okay if you laugh. I know all this is a stretch, but bear with me. See, I viewed life as an adventure, and the primary task of this life adventure was to discover the path that leads to a lifetime of happiness. That was life's purpose, to discover that path, to stumble upon that path that led to a lifetime of happiness. So according to how I envisioned life, life looked like the opening scene to the Raiders of the Lost Ark or one of the Indiana Jones movies. And in this scene, I envisioned myself sensing through or feeling my way through a cave that was filled with dangers and toils and oh yes, plenty of cobwebs. I'm going to skip the snakes because I don't do the snakes like Indiana. And in this task of finding my way through life, and in this task of searching for that one path that leads to a lifetime of happiness, I'm charged with a task of finding that one lever, finding that one stone, that one brick, that one decision that leads to a lifetime of happiness, a lifetime free of worries, free of trials, and free of tribulation. And so for much of my life, as recent as 10 years ago, I thought that so long as I attended the right university, or so long as I chose the right major, or I chose the right job or vocation, or chose to marry the right person, chose the right dog to have, chose the right number of children to have, and yes, have that in that order, so long as I did all of this and all of the above, eventually, I thought that I'd unlock or at least stumble upon the path that leads to that all-elusive lifetime of happiness. What I've learned since then is that such a path doesn't exist. At least it doesn't exist for me and for many of us. Indeed, whatever one's lot in life is, I believe the truth is, as the saying goes, each one of us has or is or will be one day fighting a mighty battle. So this is even more reason why we might listen to the Apostle Paul's encouragement here in Ephesians 6 on how to be well suited for life. For the past several weeks during our times together in worship, we've been in the book of Ephesians. And in this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he starts the first part of this letter with a foundational understanding of who God is. So everything that he writes in this letter is based on who God is. And with this, we are reminded that God is a God of many blessings. That God is a God who unifies us through Jesus Christ, bringing us together, making us one. That God is a God of abundance. Yes, able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Do we believe that? Do we believe that this is who God is? And in the second half of his letter, Paul gets into the nitty-gritty aspects of life. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Paul starts with a tagline that likely still catches our attention, even with our modern thoughts and modern sensibilities. Paul starts out, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Indeed, if Paul were posting this to Instagram, he might throw up one of those hashtag things, right? The number sign. And he might write, "Be strong in the Lord." And we might imagine that taking off or becoming viral. But that's Paul's word of encouragement. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And immediately following this, Paul lays out the reason why. Why is it that we need this sort of resolve? Why do we need this spiritual and moral resolve? Paul contends that we need this because the fight is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but instead against the evil rulers of authorities and the unseen world, against the mighty powers of the present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, there's room for us to take these words literally, as some have suggested that they were indeed intended to be received the first time Paul wrote this. Or we might view them through the lens of others who have difficulty seeing these as anything more than a metaphorical rhetoric that Paul used back in his day. But either way, whether we take these words literally or whether we take them metaphorically, either way, we can likely all appreciate how this life can be a struggle. We can appreciate how this life can be tough, even for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And not so much a struggle in terms of something we experience at a distance or something we might just conceptualize in a Bible study or in a conversation with others, but more so literally in the sense of wrestling or finding ourselves in a hand-to-hand combat with life's difficulties, with life's temptations, with life's troubles. And so to be ready for this, to ready ourselves for this battle, the Apostle Paul says we are to what? Put on what? Put on the armor of God. In doing so, Paul puts together a vivid picture of how we are to be well suited for life. and its realities. How we're to be well suited with the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness or of God's justice. With shoes on our feet so that we are ready to proclaim the good news, the peace of Christ. And this we are to take hold the shield of our faith, put on the helmet of our salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. William Barclay suggests in his commentary on this passage that it is God's truths that make us agile in the midst of life's complexities. It is God's justices which protect us against accusations. That it's the gospel of peace that equips us for discord or disagreement. How much do we need that today? It is faith that shields us from life's arrows of doubt. It's our salvation that is both backwards looking and frontwards, forward facing. In other words, it is our salvation, is God's saving grace in our life that has us looking at what God has done in our life, but also at what God will do in our life. And it is the very Word of God which readies us for every battle with sin. Each of these provides a foundation of faith with which we are to be strong. And as biblical scholars often point out, it's interesting to note here in this chapter of Ephesians, the stance that Paul presents repeatedly. According to Paul, we are to stand fast and stand against life's adversities and struggles. This posture of standing is mentioned no less than four times in verses 11 through 17, that we are to stand fast and stand against. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, and as imitators of God, we're not looking to be offensive in our stance. We are not looking to pick a fight with the good news of Jesus Christ. Instead, as Paul writes, we are to take a stand and have resolve. Perhaps more than ever in this increasingly combative world, this is an important reminder to the church, an important reminder to all of us who seek to share the joy of our salvation. My older brother, Michael, has a degree in chemical engineering. And while he has worked in the information technology field for the entirety of his professional life, there's no doubt that he has an engineer's mindset. I understand we have a few of those here in Midland, so I am in good company. And so when Mike and I both got into self-wellness and working out about 8 years ago, it was no surprise to me that with his engineering mindset, he took a deep dive into the most efficient and effective ways to work out. See, with my background in the liberal arts and as a pastor, I was plenty happy just to grunt my way to greater self-wellness. Right? Run up that hill. Lift that weight. Yes. That was plenty good enough for me. That's all the explanation I needed. Run up the hill, lift that weight, do more of it. Not so for my brother. Not so particularly when it came to strength training or to lifting weights. And one of the lessons he taught me, which I still remember to this day, is the importance of time under tension. Time under tension. In other words, when it comes to lifting weights, we primarily get stronger. We primarily build up our lean muscle mass. And that's not talking about muscle, just bodybuilding showing, but just to be functional in life, to enjoy life, to have life's vitality. That we do this best when we place our muscles under tension. And so I admit, I had played around with maybe I actually do some exercises up here, but I won't do that. But when you think about a push-up, right? A simple motion, you get kind of in a flat or a plank position with your arms extended, and then you lower yourself, and then you push yourself up back. So when are we building our muscles? Time under tension. We slowly go down to the ground and slowly push ourselves up. It's not when our elbows are in this locked position or in this position, but in that time under tension. Or we might think about a bicep curl, right? The basic motion with dumbbells. So when are we building up our muscles? Is it when our arms are locked up like this, holding the weights up? Or elbows locked down? Not so much. Set time under tension when we let the weight down and when we pull it back up. What if life works the same way? What if our connections with one another and our relationships with one another work in the same way? What if the same could be said of our faith? That we grow stronger, that our connections grow deeper with time under tension. Perhaps then we might not be so taken with finding the imagined path that leads to a lifetime of happiness. Perhaps then we might embrace our trials instead of doing everything we can to hide them from others. Perhaps then if we embrace this idea that we grow stronger through time under tension, we might even take on a deeper gratitude for how the full armor of God, for how our faith provides us with all that we need to be well suited for life. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is Soldiers of Christ Arise. So I invite you, soldiers of Christ, get on your feet. And we are going to sing this last hymn together. It is a tune you know, and we have the pleasure of having Allison lead us through.
Lord, you are armor of God.
I hope that you're not getting my message wrong. When I am told to go run up a hill or lift a heavy weight, I still grumble. After years of doing this now, it feels like, you know, if you ever had a dog who's aging, and just getting up and going is kind of a task, and he's kind of slow to get up. I'm still the same way when I have a workout in front of me. But I do it because I want to be well-suited for life. So the same is true, I wonder, about our faith. It might be hard to embrace times of trials, and times of tribulation, times of hurt, or times of division. But might we look at them differently? If we remember, as Paul has told us, that we are well suited for life. And so my encouragement to you this week, church, is to suit yourself with your faith. If you walk outside the entrance or the exit towards Larkin Street, there's the upper room devotionals. Start there. If you're not already doing so, take 3 minutes to put on the armor of God. Or maybe when you walk, take the earbuds out and leave them at home and let the Spirit talk to you on your walk. Or maybe it's sitting at your table, and instead of having the news in the background or your tablet in front of you, be still and know He is God. But I promise you, whether you're on top of life's mountains or somewhere in the valley or somewhere in between, you will be reminded that you are well suited for life. Amen. Amen. Amen.